Monique was part of the funeral. They had a couple of cousins that read this, the life sketch of our grandma. I talked about her whole life and things. Just going through it to see what she was going to say. And there was one section that was talking about the church event that our grandma did. And it was the acronym was MIA. So Monique was asking her uncle, what does Miami have to do with my grandma?
Yeah, because it said like when she was in MIA, she did like got these awards.
Yeah.
And I was like, grandma was never in Miami. what was she doing in MIA? In Miami. And
yeah. And I thought it was funny because there's only two people that and all of those grandkids that would have that issue. And it would be you and me that and you are the one that got chose to do that.
Yeah, it was funny. There were a few things of the life sketch that I got to read that I was like, it's very fitting. Did I get to read it? She worked in a cheese factory.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I love cheese. So that was pretty funny. We all know
cubes of cheese.
And then she, just a little bit, she talked about going to Israel and going on a big plane. And I was like, yeah, that's cool, Grandma.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did that.
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is assigned.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel and things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rail Lounge. I'm Monique.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Laura.
With a cold. I have a cold. Aww. I just want to get that out there.
I wasn't sure because you put on your social media that you were so sick you couldn't even go to spin class today. And oh. Monique's like, she must be almost dead.
I know. I was very worried.
Well, I was going to get a strike. You get a strike if you sign up for a class and you don't show up.
But what if you're so sick?
I know. I texted my teacher at 4:30 in the morning and said, I'm so sorry. And then I sent him a big red X because I'm really bad because Coach Ron and I sit in class and when he calls out names, if you know, for people that haven't shown up, Coach Ron and I yell strike and we do the X sign with our hands. So now, you know, now it's come back to haunt me.
The whole class this time was like strike.
Yeah, we'll show you.
Suck it, Laura.
So what if you get three strikes? Then you're not allowed to go anymore?
No, you're just not allowed to make it a reservation. You can still go to class. You just don't have a reservation.
So there's that many people that want to go at 5 in the morning that need reservations?
There's not.
No. It's actually just her and Coach Ron.
Yeah, it's just Coach Ron and I. Now, Dave's been coming now, so it's been fun.
Oh.
Worried about Ron stepping in?
No. Coach Ron is our son's swim coach from high school, and he's just a friend of our family now, and he hangs out with us. But he does work out with me and help me.
Stretching and things?
No. He'll tell me to put more weight on.
Does it make you feel bad that Laura's sick, but she looks better than both of us that are healthy?
I'm following your dad's advice.
Yeah, take a shower.
Yeah.
If you're ever sick, just take a shower. It will heal everything.
It does help a lot, though.
It does.
You had a Puerto Vallarta flight that almost crashed?
No, it just had severe turbulence.
What happened, though? You told us, but tell everyone.
Okay. So we were coming back into Phoenix from Puerto Vallarta, and we were 100% full, and it's a 737. And the three of us flight attendants were sitting on the back jump seat. There were two people in the lab, a little boy, like 10 years old, and a nice lady. And we're in the lab, and all of a sudden, we hit clear air turbulence, which means the pilots had no clue what was coming. And then
that's scary.
We hit it so hard that we flew off the jump seat. And flew up into the air. And all the passengers went, oh, you know how they make that noise. And then we came down on the jump seat. And the other girl next to me starts grabbing the jump seat and trying to push my arms in it. Like I'm not going to put it on myself. So she's grabbing it for me. And the left door pops open. And this lady sticks her head out. And she goes, and I know her name is Mrs. Shapiro because she was the last one on. And we were looking for a Zed. We had one open seat. And we were looking for the Zed that was outside. And we couldn't find them. And so I said, we asked her what her last name is. She said Shapiro. So now we knew her. So she pokes her head. I go, Miss Shapiro. I said, sit down. Just sit down and remain seated. And she goes, can I come out? Because she didn't want to be. Who wants me to laugh?
Yeah.
And that laugh is so wet and stinky. So I said, come out and sit. So she sat on the ground. And then the little boy came out of the lav. And they're sitting on the ground in between the two lavs.
Aww.
And the little boy was just like three rows away. So he crawled to his seat and his dad grabbed him and popped him in there. And then she goes, can I crawl? And I said, yeah. So she sat and scooted all the way to row 21. But you know, the lower to the ground you are, the better. So, but it was kind of funny watching her sit and scoot. Cause that's a command from a couple airlines ago when they to evacuate using the slide, we used to say sit and scoot. If they're like disabled or something, you say sit and scoot. So it's kind of funny watching her.
Did the little boy come out terrified, or was he like, best flight ever?
No, his eyes were big.
Uh-huh. He knew something had kind of happened.
Uh-huh. And then later on, the dad said to me, he goes, that was really scary for him. And I said, well, what a story, though. What a story.
Well, good thing you guys weren't up doing service.
No, but we had to make an announcement saying, somehow I got back all the way back up front to land, because that's where I'm supposed to be.
Did you scoot?
No, but I crawled like kind of down on my knee. Not on my knees, but all the way down. I made an announcement telling people to put their service items in the seat back in front of them, because I'm not going to come through. Yeah. We're bouncing in like that. And so then now we have to do a security report because that's an FAA thing that you have to go through and pick up the trash.
Okay.
And if you don't do it, you have to write a report as why you didn't. Isn't that interesting? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So what did you put? Like, just didn't want to? Didn't feel like it? Or didn't feel like it?
I thought it was weird.
It was hard to collect trash as I was scooting on my hiney.
So how long did that last for? You hit the big bump and then it was a while, or was it just
It
like
did a last a while.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. It lasted probably a good 5 minutes.
Oh,
and
wow.
then Miss Shapiro and the little boy went back to their seats. And then I waited a few more minutes because I didn't want to be mid cabin and hit that again.
Yeah.
And then before I ran up. And Greg goes, Greg, he's up front. They don't get it as much up front as you do in the back. Greg goes, are you going to go do trash? I'm like, no.
Mr. Professional. Like, but you sure can.
Have you had stuff like that before?
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
I blame it on the 737.
I do too.
What did the pilots say when they came on? We're like, well, folks, that was a little bumpy there.
They ignored it.
Oh, really?
Didn't say anything. I'm sure they were busy up there.
Oh, probably, yeah.
They were probably really busy. Plus, we were on our way down.
They were so, like, crap, we have to focus.
Yeah, they had to
Stuff's
focus
happening.
Up. Yeah. And they had to talk to Tower because we were coming in. So, yeah, it was crazy.
They had to put Sudoku down and actually focus.
No, they're Financial Times magazine.
They're playing in that pool backyard. And
My last shift that I worked, my flight, I was a meeting of flight from D.C., and they had two managers that came to us, and my job was with a couple other guys. We run the bags, connecting the bags to different flights. And they go, we're looking for two bags from Orange County. Are you assigned to you? And I said, no, not me. And they took them and they pulled them off. And then two undercover cops came and took the bags and walked out with them.
Ooh.
And I've seen it before, but it's been a while. And I just kept thinking, I wonder, I mean, it got through security in D.C., but within that time that flight took off until it got here, what did they find out that they wanted to look in that person's bag? So it was kind of interesting.
We used to see that a lot more during COVID.
Oh, really?
During COVID, it was like big time. You'd always see.
Because they didn't have anything to do? Like, because there wasn't any.
I don't know. Or I don't know if it was easier to flag people in that time because there weren't as many people flying.
Oh,
I don't know. But yeah, you'd always see there was a group of like four of them and they'd always wear sweatshirts and jeans and they'd kind of stand in like a little huddle. And then they'd come over usually and be like, will you let me know if so-and-so's on this flight? And you'd be like, yep. They're like, okay, thanks.
Well, I've also seen when I've done internationals and we're take the bags, we go and throw them into the belts to go down to be collected. And usually, not always, but there's a guy with a dog that kind of like runs over them and smelling. And he'll pull certain ones out.
Oh, before they're even like in the customs area?
Yeah. So.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So just because you got your bag doesn't mean it hasn't been pulled off and looked through or. And then they'll send it back through so they can see who grabs it.
Oh.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's like on the London flights. Lately, they've been up there and they'll stop boarding and look through people's bags as they're getting on in the jetway.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for cash. Because you're supposed to declare 10,000 or more. Is that what it is?
Yes. I think it's like exactly, I don't know if it's exactly 10,000 or 10,001, but yeah, it's right around there.
So Tyler, they'll go through and they'll have their ticket clicked. And then they get in the jetway and then they have to have their bag searched. Isn't that interesting? In the jetway.
Yeah, they'll close the door and they'll pile it all out in piles and count it all. And
The money,
yeah. I've seen them like even before where they're like looking under. So, you know, in most suitcases, it has like kind of a lining.
Yeah.
I've seen them like looking under the lining and everything. And those are exciting days.
I've seen it. I watched a documentary recently. There was a bunch of cops in Atlanta that were stopping passengers going to LA. So not even domestic or not even international, domestic. And if they had a lot of money, which is legal, you can carry as much cash, they would take the money and you have to prove that you had a right to have that much cash.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
and which you shouldn't have to, but it was like the guilt, the money is guilty until you can prove it's innocent. And they were, the whole report was they were doing it to a lot of like black guys that were going to LA because they were like, yeah, it was pretty bad. Like,
So who was the law enforcement that was doing it?
Like the Atlanta, I don't know, it was the city cops or the airport cops doing it.
Okay. So yeah, it wasn't anything with customs then, like,
no, it wasn't that group. It was just like, but all that money would get asset forfeiture. Oh, wow. Or they would just take it.
Yeah, asset forfeiture.
Yeah. So it was crazy, though.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So there's a bunch of lawsuits, but you had to like get lawyers to get your money back. That's yours anyways. Anyways, different. So you had a work story, or was it my work story that I saw?
Oh, yeah. So I'm working a flight with my friend Shannon.
And I like Shannon.
Yeah. She's nice. Well, and it was my first day back after bereavement time.
Yeah.
And so we kind of called up to our staffing people that tell us what we're going to be working. And I told them that, or Shannon told them that I was very emotionally distraught and I needed a friend. So they were so good. They let me work with Shannon in the afternoon and I got to work with other friends in the morning. But so we're working a flight and next thing we know, next door, and we kind of seen this flight already be worked and people boarded like no issues. But all of a sudden the door shut. These like two women are on the door just pounding on it. I'm thinking that has never made me go, I'm going to go upstairs and open it for them. Like, no.
Have you done that? So has someone done that to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That makes me go, I'm definitely not going up until this plane is pushed out.
Yeah.
Because they're already going to be denied. So why deny them with the plane still here?
Yeah.
I'm going to deny them when the plane's gone. And I can really be like, there's no way you're getting on this.
I was on an extended paid break. And so I came up to say hi to Monique, and then I left her alone. Was you're doing your flight, and I was right in front of it. I'm watching these ladies just pound on the door, and I'm looking around like it says closed, but I pulled it up to see what time was it, and it was like minus 10. So they may have started pounding at minus 11. Like,
well, yes, we didn't know this till later. We found out, but so even if you start out in, let's say, in Phoenix where we were,
yeah,
if you start out, your seat can actually be forfeited at 15 minutes before departure.
Okay.
So that's the thing is, yeah, it could have been even minus 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they weren't present, they forfeited their ticket at that point. So yeah, they like, I think they turned over to me and Shannon and they were like, can you help us?
Oh, as my we're gosh. In
the process of now boarding our flight. So we're like, no, I was like, if the door's closed, you need to go up to the help desk and look at options for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer.
They didn't like that though.
But. So it was like five of them, I think, total, because it was two women that were crazy. And then the guys were like, once somebody came up, they're like, it's our fault. Like, we were a couple gates away, not paying attention. But the women were not happy. This never happened. So
they were there, just not paying attention.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, so they were there. They were true locals that just didn't go to the gate in time to board it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I don't understand. It's like 150 other people figured out how to get there and get on board. You're the only ones that didn't.
Did they still stay there and wait to talk to the agent, or did they go to the help desk?
No, I think a supervisor or someone finally went over and kind of talked to them.
They were gone by the time the agents came back after pushing the jet budget.
Yeah. But I'm sure as soon as they heard it down there, they were like, I ain't coming back up. Like, people are crazy.
I think that's funny.
Well, and it's like, if you're aggressively pounding on something,
I'm
definitely not going to come and help you. No, if you're yelling at me in the boarding area, you're like, I'm coming, then I know, okay, you're making an effort to try to be here on time. But if that door's shut.
But if they have a bag shut. Of McDonald's in their hand, they yell, I'm
coming. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to see. So but maybe that's just normal. That's like every day to you.
It's not every day, but it's fairly common.
Yeah. All right. So last week we had Brett on the show with us and we recorded with him.
The Cranky Flyer.
Before the event. So let's talk about, from our side, kind of that whole weekend, that trip. What did we learn about San Francisco? Do you remember?
San Francisco or Oakland?
Yeah, but I was
the Bay Area.
Right now, there's a lot of delays in San Francisco.
Oh, a lot of delays.
Because one of the runways is closed. And it's
really? They're down to one runway.
Well, and they already have the fog in the morning that causes...
They do have fog.
Yeah, because our flight was delayed by a bit. And so we assume it was fog, but the pilot came out. This is SkyWest pilot.
Oh, good for him.
And he
in the boarding area.
And he said, it's not weather. It's just they're down one runway. So they won't let us take off.
So like ATC delays are just like constant.
If you've seen it in San Francisco, they'll land side by side because those runways are really close and it's a whole thing up there. It's cool for taking pictures and stuff. And even watching out, every time I land, I'm always like, can we? Because they try to line up next to each other. But they only have one runway. So they have that's cuts in half how many landings they can do.
And how long is that supposed to last for? Do they know?
It's a long time. I think it's a big project.
So Tyler and I were waiting for our flight, which was full anyway.
Yeah.
And then they came out and made that announcement. So then we hightailed it over to Southwest.
Because, yeah, it was gonna, if we didn't get on, we were going to go over. And then they delayed it. It was like, hey, we have to make a decision. And it wasn't looking good. I think ours was even showing oversold. And they told us that. And we're like, well, it's still missing a few people. But we just decided to go over Southwest.
I kind of wanted to. Yeah, if you waited too long, then Southwest isn't even an option.
Correct.
Well, there was another one later, but that really cut in. But I wanted to go to San Francisco because I wanted to hit some of the clubs and stuff, the party pass
lounges. I wanted a facial.
Yeah.
That wasn't there, but.
Ruined my dreams.
Sorry.
Dream ruiner.
I didn't talk to you about it, but leaving the night before and connecting through JFK to San Francisco. But.
Well, real quick, that's funny that Laura brought up the facial because Shannon got the new Chase.
Yeah.
Reserve card like you have, right? And one of the things she said is she goes, I was listening and I heard about the facial. So it's like, that's a big selling point now for people.
You just have to go to New York.
So we got on Southwest. It was nice. All middle seats, you know, and they were really nice. We got on and Tyler took the middle seat over wing and I went a row behind and I was having a hard time lifting up my bag because I had all the podcast equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, this nice lady helped me. Then I thought she was so nice, I'd sit next to her. And so I sat in the middle seat next to her. She talked the entire time and told me her whole life story about why she was going. And then she asked me for my phone number because she wants to get together and buy me lunch when she gets back to Phoenix to tell me about her trip.
Oh, wow.
She's a very nice older woman. She's retired. Anyway, when we landed in Oakland and taxied to the gate, Tyler stands up and she yells, well, first of all, she said to me, she goes, is that your man, your husband? I go, no, that's not my husband. Oh, I go, that's my friend. She goes, your husband allows you to travel without him? He allows you to travel with another man? And I'm not kidding. That's how she spoke. And I said, yes, he does. he does. And I didn't want to even get in the fact that, hello, Tyler's married. So anyway, we land and Tyler stands up and she yells, Tyler. And he turns around and looks at her and his eyes are like, what? And she goes, you get her bag down for her.
That's what I was just going to say. You, Tyler, you let an old retired woman help Laura with her bag before you stepped in to help her?
Well, she was passing me. She was going farther back.
I passed Tyler.
Okay.
It was pretty funny though. She yelled at him. And then we all walked out together.
She was like, get your hiney back here and help her with her bag.
Well, before we even took off, I wrote a group chat and I said, it's funny because I'm going to ruin two guys' day having this big guy be like, I'm sitting in the middle of you. Yeah. And I did have to the guy that was in the aisle, he was turned away with his earphones on. I had to tap him and be like, I'm sitting there. So, because, Southwest, that, we were group C, 46.
So not the end. I think there's 60 something I've had before, but you're the, at the,
you there was some middle. Opens. Yeah. But they were just middles, but yeah, we were going to be middle. And then I said in that same comment, I said, I'm going to ruin two guys and Laura is going to make a best friend. And when I landed, yeah.
That's so funny. So when are you meeting up with this woman?
She doesn't get back until March 6th.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
With Cookie.
Cookie, that's her name. Cookie. It's not her real name, but yeah, she goes by Cookie.
Oh.
Yes, we flew into Oakland, took the train. You said you spent some time in Oakland, Laura. Years ago, right?
Years ago, yeah.
Have you spent any time in Oakland?
What do you mean? Like in the city or?
Yeah, just ever been in that part of the... I've been to San Francisco a bunch, but I had never spent time in Oakland. I've landed and then took the BART into San Francisco, but I've never really spent time in the view.
No, my friend Kunsi, she took me over to the LDS temple in Oakland.
Okay.
So I saw that, but no. Like we did more San Francisco stuff when I was there.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of bad stuff about Oakland recently. And I've heard all the crime that's been happening there. And so I was
Cookie told us about it.
Like carjackings, just random, in the middle of, right? Is that kind of what's happening?
That's the whole Bay Area. But yeah, and it's especially in the Oakland area, and it's just pretty bad. So I wasn't sure what to expect. But yeah, you said she told, because she's from there, right?
She's from Oakland,
yeah. And she was worried to even just go to a restaurant in the middle of the day.
Yeah, she wanted to go to her favorite barbecue place, but she said, I'm not going to do it now.
Really?
Well, she was by herself in her rental car. That's what she said. She goes, they're popping out windows. And their mayor of Oakland is being impeached right now because they want a new mayor. Wow. Because they think that will help.
So, yeah,
what a bummer.
Yeah. Because being my first time really in there, last time I landed in Oakland and did that, it was late at night. So it's just dark. I hop on the train and gone. But there was some really pretty parts of Oakland, where the event was was right on this waterfront, and it was just, it was pretty there.
And it was at the Scottish Rites Center, and it was a really old building that was gorgeous, and it was right on the water. And at night when you came out with all the lights on the water, it was really pretty.
Yeah, it was. In downtown, looks like it was nice, but as you're walking around, you could see a lot of graffiti and broken windows and stuff. So I was waiting for Lara from our hotel. We stayed at a different one than everyone else, but it was close downtown there.
We had two rooms, just saying.
Yeah, two rooms.
Okay, Cookie, so.
Yeah, Cookie.
And Dave, sorry. But and I went out on this balcony, just kind of overlooking, waiting. It was a nice area. And one of the workers in this Marriott, he walked out to the street. I think he was delivering something to someone because he walked back without anything else. But as he walked back from the middle of the street, he was carrying a baseball bat. Like
in the daytime.
In the middle of the day, just to walk out to take someone else. He had a baseball bat with him.
Jeez.
I was like, yeah, that's crazy. I understand like the middle of the night.
Almost sounds like The Purge.
Yeah.
Did you hear that about that movie? Yeah.
So it was just kind of crazy. I think Brett was kind of like, things have gotten worse in Oakland. Because they've been planning on doing it there for over a year.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad because it was sponsored by Oakland Airport. So, I mean, they're trying really hard to bring people in.
Are we going to talk about the Cranky Awards?
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of talk about the crazy of getting there.
Oakland.
Yeah. I love that Lara made a best friend.
Cookie.
Yeah, they've already got their nails done.
Okay, so this is my thought on us attending the Cranky Flyer Awards, Network Awards. Ready?
I'm ready.
Hit me.
It's kind of like an honor of getting first class because we get to go, but it's not like we really belong there.
Oh, it's exactly it.
Because you have a reason. Brett thinks you're amazing, which I get. Because you have a little part. You do a little.
That's nice of him. Yeah.
A little show thing. And I'm kind of like your muscle.
Thank goodness.
His, her bodyguard.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't do any. We check people in, which I'm sure anyone in their crew could sit and check people in too. But we don't really have a reason to be there. But he wants us there. So we really appreciate it. And it's a fun event.
It's a great, great fun.
He brings all these people in from the networks, airports.
Boeing was there. There were people from Airbus there.
Airbus. It's sponsored by Embraer. Uh-huh. They have news people like media, not us media. We're
Wall Street Journal was there. CNBC was there.
Yeah.
It sounds like us.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Did you guys make up your own credentials to wear around your neck?
We should.
No, but last year I made these little stickers with our logo on it and it had our first names. And I forgot about doing that this year. So I was kind of sad that.
But they have a whole cocktail hour before where people serve in hors d'oeuvres, which was nice because we got to eat them.
Yeah.
Last time we were kind of like outside checking people in, but we're right in the middle of this time because where we're at. So.
And the servers came and gave us food.
Did it kind of feel like when we went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we didn't belong, but we were there because we kind of like.
We sold pamphlets outside or the programs it's and then we like, snuck in and kind of got to watch it. It's sneak, but yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like when you sit in the first class, like a $15,000 seat, we get it for free. It's like, yeah. We shouldn't be here, but this is fun.
And it's kind of fun because Tyler knows like who people are that I don't know. And he's like, oh, that's Austin. We need to have him on the program. And
yeah. I'm kind of like the creepy aviation stalker.
And then
Tyler's fangirling the whole time over.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to see Brandon again, which I was kind of jealous about. He's so nice.
Happy to see him. And he won again. That's most awesome. Victorious route, which is the same route he won for last year.
Well, wasn't last year the sexiest route or something like that? Uh-huh.
New route, yeah.
New route, okay.
Sexiest and then new route.
Now it's done so well because they started it like once a day, soon went to twice a day. And then I think he said during peak it's three, and even on some Saturdays, it'll go four times a day.
Wow.
From Miami to, how do you pronounce it?
Tortuga.
Beef Island.
Oh, it's Tortola, really.
So
Beef Island.
Is he letting his boss know? He's like, just so you know, my work has won two awards.
Two Crankies.
Not his, yeah, just him, like him personally.
So. Yeah, so I was like, so if anytime he needs to go up for like a promotion or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd be putting those things right up front so everyone could see him.
That's me. They actually have them on a little shelf back there because I went to visit the network planners at corporate and they all have them all in a little line.
He's such a cool guy too.
He is a cool guy.
I said to him, and he had a co-worker with him. I said, you're not going to be here very long, like in your position. He's going to move up in the company.
Yeah.
And he's like, I like it here. Like the kind of the corporate answer. And his buddy next to him was like, he's gone. Like he's moving up.
He's got a great smile too.
Yeah. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah. But
that was at the after party. And then they have an after party too, which is really nice in a theater. And they showed the movie Airplane.
Oh, fine.
I'm probably jumping ahead.
But no one's watching, but it was just kind of tacky. But yeah, you had to have it on and more snacks and stuff and drinks.
More beer. And I made one of the network planners pour me a beer. Ben, I said, hey, Ben, will you pour me a beer? Let's try something new. You pour me a beer.
How do you do?
He did very well. And he poured one for Brandon.
It wasn't his first time.
Last year, the after party, you had to buy your own drinks because it was just, they had a bar, but that was all covered this time.
And it was such a small bar last time that, you know, because I was searching for someone to buy a drink for me. And it was really hard. So I had to buy my own drink last year.
Man.
But this year.
So nice. We're sitting there. Our important job is to check people in and tell them where they're going to sit for to eat.
Okay.
It's very important.
You're like, you say, yes.
Which table they're at.
You're welcome. Go to table 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, no.
Oh, no.
They're not numbered.
Not numbered. How are they organized?
They have huge model airplanes that were donated by Boeing. And so we have to tell them what kind it is, and they have to go find the plane, know which kind it is. I was like, Monique would not be good at this.
Nor would Lara.
I think they're the basic. If they're in our fleet, I think I could do it.
So if they're not in our fleet, there was a 737 MAX 7, 8, 9, and 10 on different. You could at least say.
They're right on the body of the plane, though. It tells you what kind they are.
You could tell?
Yeah. It tells you right there on the plane.
Okay.
Oh, you don't. Were people wandering around having a hard time finding them?
I'm just watching this brother sister moment.
Not too much, but there were some people, like, because someone had some, there were some, like, baseball affiliated people that were friends that came. I was like, these people aren't going to know anything.
Well, no, I get it. I definitely have coworkers who would have struggled.
Yeah.
Or those flight attendants that thought that the 777 was their baby bus, yeah. 319. So.
But so we had to tell them where to sit. And
we sat at the host table.
Oh yeah, but so they would come up and say this person canceled, you could take him off the list. And they told us, oh, these people have all canceled from Lynx.
Brett came over and told us.
He said they had some emergency, and so we're like, okay, like that's fine. And within like 20 minutes, I think we heard about it first because Henry had wrote us, like our group.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And said they're going under, they're canceling, they're going bankrupt. And so, because Brett, they didn't even know. So we're like, you should let them know. Like, that's the reason they're not coming. So it's kind of crazy that they were. And they even said they had jokes about them, like little, because they kind of make fun of everybody.
A little bit of roasting kind of.
Yeah. And they said they had to go through and cut all those out. Like, they were even up for an award.
Oh, really?
Nominated for one of the awards. I don't know what it was, but they would want, and they were like, they still said it because they had all prepared, but.
And it was just kind of a sad
moment. Yeah.
It was sad. Okay. So. Brett Schneider is so funny and clever. And if you read his blogs, you'll read it. You know, you can see it. So the whole award ceremony is tongue in cheek. You know, everybody's laughing. And then they said, before we start the awards, we have some business we need to take care of. So some items were found out in the cocktail area. By the way, the cocktails were sponsored by the Louisville Airport.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so anyway, so he holds up these things. He goes, these four bolts were found in the cocktail area. Who knows who they belong to? Does anyone know?
That was funny. I thought it was pretty ballsy, being that Boeing's one of his big sponsors, to like make fun of him like that. I was like, it's funny.
And then he does a little video on the airlines we lost last year. Oh. You know, kind of like the Academy Awards, the people that died. And then they show pictures of them and stuff. And then what they'll do is, like, they had a coffin on a Navy boat that they were going to put in the water, you know, and they put the name of the airline on that coffin, you know, on the video and dumped it in the water. They did stuff like that. Then they had the American and the JetBlue breakup.
Oh,
and we were the woman and the guy was the JetBlue, and he was kissing her goodbye and just walking away. And she's struggling. Wait. I mean, it was just really funny. He does really funny things.
Yeah. It's a fun event. You have to come next year.
Yeah, for sure.
If we're invited.
I mean, it seems like you guys did a good job checking everyone in.
What was your favorite part of the night? And I'll tell mine.
I think the after party is my favorite. Because it was more relaxed. Because I had done my little thing on the stage.
Yeah.
And I was a little nervous about that.
You did a good job.
Okay, thank you.
She gets so nervous to pretend to be a flight attendant when that's what she does for a living. I know you only do it like twice a week.
Yeah, I know.
I was joking with our group, and was it Drew was saying, you guys need more flight attendants like Lara. And I said, I said 21,000 flights a week, which was way low. I think our airline has like 60,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I said, and Lara only wants two of them. So
the odds are not in everyone's favor.
Yeah, but you're going to get Lara as a flight attendant.
Okay. So at the end of the night, they had paper and pens. Are we ready to talk about that?
Yeah.
At the end of the night, they have paper and pens on the every table. And they asked some questions and you had to write down what you thought the answer was. And then whoever was closest won the model. Okay. So at our table was one of the gentlemen that's part of the Cranky Flyer thing, Andrew. And if you read the Cranky Flyer blog, it's at the bottom of it says Andrew's moment of levity. And that's his joke. And it's always like dad jokes. But anyway, so he was sitting there because he's monitoring Twitter. He's updating Twitter the whole time.
Social media for you.
Uh-huh. So then I'm sitting next to him. Tyler's on my right. And then this guy who didn't have a table, who's actually a guest, was way over on the other side. So, I mean, what are the odds of winning that model?
So, yeah, most places, they'll have like all the United people sit there, all the Southwest 12. On their table. Yeah, all the American, all the Delta people are at the table, Boeing's at the table. So full tables, and we're at the table with the workers. Like, we're considered one of the workers of them, the people that are working the event. So I ended up winning the model.
That's awesome.
But these are not normal models. Like, they're huge models.
They're huge. Yeah.
They're the box, like, we put them in to bring them home was like the size of a carry-on suitcase.
Mm-hmm. It's from a gate age, it's bigger than a carry-on. It's taller than a carry-on.
Yeah, yeah. Not wider, but it was longer than. There's a good chance.
We're going to win.
And I know if Laura wins.
Yes.
I'm going to win.
You know, and then, so the guy, the eligible guy and I had the same answers. And okay. I said, and we were wrong. And Tyler was a little bit more correct. So I said, okay, Tyler, you won it. So I just took charge of the table.
Perfect.
Well, the question was like, how many hours do Boeing airplanes fly on average per day?
Oh, that was it.
Like throughout the whole world. Like they know because they keep track of everything. But on average, how many hours? And I think I put like 20,000 hours.
No, we both did. The other guy and I put 20,000. You put more.
Okay. So I was.
That's crazy. So it was even more than 20,000 hours. Uh-huh. There's Boeing planes flying in a day.
On average, yeah.
Wow. And see, now last year, Brandon Carpenter won the model. One of them. And he just FedExed it home.
That's because I was saying, even as a gate agent, I would have struggled with that thing. I would have saw it and went, ooh, that needs to be checked. Mm-hmm. But question, what if you, Laura, and the other guy would have tied? Would have been like cage match to see who gets it, or
I would have said, "Well, I think you should be a gentleman and let the lady win,
and then hand it over to Tyler." Yes.
Well, one of Brandon's friends won it, and he's like, "I don't know if I want it or not." And Brandon's like, "What?"
And I was standing right there. I go, "Okay, Brandon, then you take it because you'll enjoy that." I mean, I was pushing for Brandon. I said, "Okay, well then Brandon will take it." Perfect. So I was trying to take charge of that table. It was the American table. I was trying to take charge of that table, and Ben is the one that won it.
Okay, when I looked up, just Googled, searched, like, about how much is this worth?
Yeah.
What was that? What did you say? $475?
$475.
Yeah. Those things are expensive. You were trading them and selling them.
Well, that was one of the smaller ones, even the ones that I have, because I have cases at home in my office with them. And I went to put this one in, and one of the wings wouldn't even fit. Like, you couldn't close the door.
It's that big.
Much bigger. Yeah. So it's sitting on the very top now, which is.
That's still awesome.
I told Katie, I said, at Thanksgiving, it's going to be our centerpiece. She's like, okay.
Oh, that's a great centerpiece.
Good.
That would be actually really fun to have planes at the table.
All right. Are we ready to talk about how Lara's the best friend ever?
Yeah.
I am.
So we had to leave. Well, we got back to hotel after the after party and we had to leave.
Like 11:30 we got back.
And my alarm went off at 3:00. Or did we leave at
3:00? Mine went at 2:30.
Yeah.
I think probably because your flight was at 5:30, right?
Yeah. So we had to get back over to San Francisco. And I had a guaranteed seat because of bereavement. Mm-hmm. And Laura did not. And this is one of the only times that I would get on. What did I say? I need to like put this in my journal that I would get on for sure. And you may not. Because you can't jump seat on Express. RJ,
yeah.
So I knew I was going to get on. But you were usually, it could be oversold by 4:00. And you're like, I'm good.
Real quick. Is it because of a contractual thing? Or are they just the lack of actual jump seats?
I believe it's the lack of actual.
Okay. They just don't put them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that you're not trained on them. I didn't know if that was.
No, I'm not trained on them. This is either.
Are there different sizes? Like just.
Because Laura's really skinny.
Like is the Embraer, like is that, does it have more? Or is it all regionals?
I don't know. I believe it's two separate airlines. I believe that may be it.
I just wonder like aircraft types, like if it's a little bit bigger, if they actually throw in an extra jump seat or not. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, even if they did, they didn't put her on.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, I kept thinking I would have a chance because it's that first flight in the morning.
Yeah, that early, people oversleep.
Yeah, and people oversleep. But then at the last minute, okay, so you remember we did that thing with that makes you cranky? Things that make you cranky with Brett Schneider. Okay, I changed my thing. You know what makes me cranky? What? Is at the last minute, two people below you that are D2s change into D1s and now they're above you at the last minute. That makes me cranky.
When did they do it?
Well, it was by the time we got to the airport, they were D1s.
Son of a guns.
I was like, dang it. So then there was like three people ahead of me. One revenue passenger and then those two.
Yeah, I was surprised. Remember I talked a few weeks ago and I said, if it's zero seats, usually I feel pretty good. And it was right about zero, but it didn't open up at all, even being that early a flight.
What's tough though, too, is on those ones. So on our airline, if it's their metal, even though they're listed as like a D2 with you, they still bump you.
Yeah.
So you could be a one and they would still bump you. I wish there was some kind of way that our system would already put them above you.
I know.
As well. May not happen on this one, but I've had it coming out of Salt Lake before where I thought I was sitting real nice at like a D1. Then all of a sudden they started giving people below me seats and I was like, oh no, it's like their metal. So they bumped me. And I was like, I would have been nice to know that
makes you cranky.
Yeah. That they were already ahead of me.
Well, I think we talked about it. Maybe when I went to T1, the flight was wide open, but there was a bunch of those below. And I assumed because I was on SkyWest that they were probably SkyWest because that's the most we see on this side of the country, but they're actually for one of the other carriers back east, but it happened they just wanted to be on the inaugural too. And we all got business class, but it's still like, if it was a close flight, it would be nice to know.
Yeah.
I wasn't too worried because this is the 550, and then there was a Southwest at 615, and then we had another one at 9, and the one we had at 9 had 30 open seats.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't worried.
Yeah.
But Laura had to carry, you checked your backpack.
I checked my bag.
Your suitcase. Because
so you could take the model form.
So I could take the model form because he's had like 30 minutes to connect in Phoenix and then you're going on to Idaho Falls.
Yeah. So I had I didn't have to haul it all the way up there and back and kids. And so it would just been a hassle. But so what happened with yours? Because once I left, then you did your.
Okay. So he got on and then the RJ had two open. So they took those two D1s down the jetway and they told me, they said, okay, because I was staying there. They go, you better go over to Southwest.
Oh, okay.
So it was close, but not that close. So I headed over there. And then Tyler texted me and said, come back. There's an open seat. So I ran back.
Oh, no.
With the model and a little bag. I ran back. And then a full passenger was running up at the same time as I was. And I'm like, ugh. And then the doors opened. And here come the two D1s off. And I'm like, what's happening to the D1s? And they go, oh, well, they only had one seat and another seat, but it was broken. The seat was broken. And then all of a sudden they grab that full fare passenger and they bring her down. And I'm like, so then I said to the D1s, I go, are you guys going to run over to Southwest? And they said, no, we're going to wait for the 9 o'clock. And I said, okay, I'm running to Southwest. So I run over to Southwest. Gate agent, so nice. Couldn't be nicer to me. He said, yeah, I got a seat for you. Hang on. And he gave me the boarding pass C54. And then I said to him, oh, thank you so much. I go, you made my day. And he goes, well, I'd like to make your night. And I'm like, jeez. All righty then. And, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Thank you very much. I needed that.
And I'm going to need your HR's email address. Yeah.
So I run in, I stand in the back. I'm the last person. And I've got the one bag and the model. And of course, the gate agent knew what the model was. I said, this is all I have.
Yeah.
And so, because they were checking bags. And I said, this is all I have. So anyway, I go down the jetway and there's a man in front of me with a roller bag, a small one, but it's a roller bag. And we get down there and the group, there's two people down there. And then one guy grabs the guy with the roller bag. And this girl walks up to me. She goes, okay, I'm going to have to check that. I go, what? She goes, I'm going to have to check the model. I go, it's a model airplane. Can I just ask the flight attendant if she has room behind the last row of seats? Because on some of our 737s, there's room. And so I walked up to the gate agent or to the flight attendant. I said, is there room for this? And I said, it's a model airplane. And she goes, yeah, we are not behind our last row of seats. She goes, I don't think I have room for that. I said, okay. And so I walked up and I said to the gate agent, I'll just take the next flight because I can't check this. And so I got off the plane.
Oh, jeez.
And then I thought, the 9 o'clock. So then I go up front, go upstairs, I sit down and I start looking through my phone. 9 o'clock has now been delayed till 12:30.
Jeez. and you've been up since 2:30 already. Like you're like, I just want to go 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But then I looked and it said Alaska was leaving at 8:30, which is before the 9 a.m. So, but that's in another terminal. So I zip over, first of all, I try to do the flight attendant commuting and it won't take it just like it didn't that one time.
Okay.
So I just buy a Zed. And I run over to Terminal 3 and they put everybody on and I'm standing there and then this flight attendant runs up and, you know, Alaska flight attendant. And the guy goes, here's the last seat. I got you the last seat. And I'm standing there going, oh. And so he puts her on and then they're closing up. And I said, okay, so there's like no more standbys. And he looked at me, he goes, are you standby? I'm like standing at the gate.
Yeah.
I go, yeah.
Had you checked in with them before?
No, I had not.
Okay.
And so, but I'm on the list and I could see it on the screen.
Oh, okay.
I could see my name on the screen.
Because well, sometimes Zeds or things or the commuter jump seats still have to check, at least with our airline, they have to check in with us.
Oh, okay.
So, well, I didn't know if it was something similar with them. So
yeah. Well, anyway, he goes, oh, I didn't know you were here. Hang on. And he goes, here, I gave you a premium seat so you can have a drink. And I said, this is because I had said, well, this is all I have. He goes, oh, yeah, go ahead, take it down. And I went down and there was a whole bin open. So I put the model very carefully in there and took my seat. And I did not have a drink, but it was fun.
But you weren't in the jump seat. You could have.
I could have, but nah. And I got back before I would have on the 9 o'clock, even if the 9 o'clock went on time.
You're a good friend.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was looking and I was like, oh, that next one's opening wide up. And I didn't realize why. And then I found out it was really delayed. I don't know if you told me or I was like, oh, that's why it keeps opening up.
Oh, well, then you got to come in Terminal 3, too.
I did. It was fun.
It's so pretty over there, isn't it?
It is really pretty.
You're like, this is what an airport should look like.
Yeah.
Were you confused on the train, though? Because you don't do the train.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused.
Did you take an Uber between the two?
No. But I did get on one train. I had to turn around, run across the way, and get on the other one.
Well, thank you for bringing my model
home. I was happy to.
I know that it was a lot more work for you.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
If you follow our Instagram, you probably saw that our grandma passed away. So we had a little trip up there.
That woman had 12 children.
Mm-hmm.
God love her.
No multiples either.
Wow.
Like no twins in there.
Yeah. 12 separate
births.
Yeah.
63 great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And they just keep growing. There's a bunch of our cousins that are pregnant right now, too. Yeah.
So our grandma was this very sweet, but kind of a tough cowboy from Wyoming.
Yeah.
At least from a cowboy family, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were big horsemen and yeah.
She's the kind that she could be in pain and you would never know. Like, she's just tough. And so we got told that she had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, she'd be fine. Like, it's grandma, like kind of a thing. And then that was on a Friday. And then I think you got some notifications that she was going to go in hospice because 91.
Yeah.
And then they told us, we got some messages saying, if you want to say goodbye, you should come now from our aunts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, guys, I like, it's grandma. I gotta, in like 2 weeks, I got a time I can head up. And
well, because we discussed it. I think we were headed over to Lara's and we were doing something.
Yeah.
And you were like, we've got spring break coming up. I think I'll go then.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think we need to go this weekend.
Yeah. And then as it got more and more, that was on Friday. So I'd even picked up a second shift on the day, next day on that Saturday. And then I went to work that night, and that's when I was like, I got to go tomorrow. I told Katie, I'm going tomorrow. And I went into our managers, like the head MOD, and I was like, I need tomorrow off. They say my grandma's not doing well, and she was not happy. She's like, we don't give people weekends off. And I said, they say that she may not make it to the weekend. And it's one of those, like, you don't know, because our other grandmas kind of had some of that, and then that was years ago. She's fine now.
Mm-hmm. And this is your paternal grandma, JR's.
Yeah. I don't want to take advantage of it. Like, you know, I don't want to be like,
yeah,
she's not doing good. And she's really like, oh, yeah, she was fine. Because I didn't. And she's like, well, can you find someone to work a shift? I'm like, I'll try it. But it's 9:30 at night and I have a shift at 6:30 the next morning. So I wrote a few people and then I had to be like, no, but she did approve it and gave it to me, which I was grateful for. And I got to go up and be with her and say goodbye. Which I know you got to with our grandpa, which I didn't get it to. I'm not sure why I didn't go up there.
Chris was just born.
Oh, I had a baby. That makes sense.
Chris was like okay. 2 or 3 days old. Yeah,
that makes sense then. But I just I thought there's no way I could have done this without having the job. I don't have $800 to pay for a round trip ticket just to buy a ticket. Our people that live closer could drive in, like our sister drove up. Mm-hmm. Chelsea did. But
it was a blessing you were there because.
Yeah, and I was there with her that night when she did pass with my dad and I when we took our turn to kind of be with her and it went faster than we thought. So
it was a blessing for your dad to have you there too.
Yeah.
You weren't there just for your grandma. It was nice for your dad.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. I was actually sitting up because we took the midnight one and I was editing that next week's podcast. Like, just sitting there and things changed fast. So I didn't get it edited, but that's okay. I was there. So I'm just lucky. I know that you were going to fly up on the plane because I was only going to be there 24 hours. I only had that one day and then you had to cancel. And I'm just glad that I had the job and they let me do that. And then the next week, because we actually passed away. And then once they got the plans, we decided we got to go up. We've talked about bereavement with our airline a couple times. It's nice that they don't ask questions. They just like, what days do you need off? What flights do you need? And we could have non-revved to Idle Falls and back. I couldn't have got out of San Francisco.
No.
Because I was there for that event. So I had to go San Francisco Connect. But.
Well, that's it. Shannon had offered to work my shift.
Yeah.
That Friday. So I could have been up there.
And she is a good friend.
That would have been. It's going to be one of those things that like not haunts me, but I live with forever that like I could have been up there and I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, your wife was also recuperating from surgery.
Yeah. That's the reason that you had to come with us. Yeah. Because you're still dealing with stuff at home.
Yeah, there was still a lot at home that kind of played into it, but it just, yeah. But it was nice to be able to get up there and be with family when I did get up there.
It was kind of funny. We were, the night before, Monique and I were sitting at a kitchen table like this, and we had a couple other people around, especially one of our aunts from up in Utah. And we don't come from an aviation family, do we? Like,
no, we're the only ones, yeah.
And my wife's side, her grandfather, we've talked about, was a United pilot. She's got two other pilots from the one was on the show and then another uncle in Dallas. So she grew up with buddy passes. We never did. But as we're sitting at the table, we were having a conversation, very normal for us.
Oh yeah.
And our aunt says, are you guys speaking English? Because we were using so many airline codes. We're talking about Haneda and like all these different things that was just very quick and common. And she thought we weren't even speaking English. And so I thought it's kind of funny that.
Well, and that's it. Yeah. It was like, it's going to take too long to try to explain what all these codes mean.
And I said, do you know what Haneda is? And she's like, no. And she goes, we said, it's an airport in Tokyo. And she's like, why would you go to Tokyo? And both Monique are like, oh, God.
Why would you not go?
Yeah. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Even though we could have non-revved, it still just takes away that stress of having to look at loads and like verify checking in on time, things like that. But
when my mom passed, it was suddenly. And I non-revved over there because that was how quick it. And well, she was, anyway, I non-revved over there and the company sent Dave and the two kids over the next day, positive space, and then brought us all home, positive space. And then for the memorial, sent us back out, positive space. So we got two positive space trips out of that, which was, they take care of us that way.
Yeah, we're lucky for that. Because other airlines, I think was it Delta? I may have mentioned this like a year ago. They'll do a lot for them, but you're still, I believe what they've told is they're still on your own and on rev. Like you'll give your days off and things, but they won't confirm you. So.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And that may have changed or they may have, but yeah. So it's nice. Even when you're retired, like if you have, you're still, I confirmed Melissa, she was in Zurich when her grandpa passed away and they flew her all the way back to Salt Lake.
And her husband.
At the time, it was just her, but her sister was with her. So guaranteed all the way back. End up getting business back to the States. And so get her back to the funeral. So, well, I didn't know you didn't get on the Southwest flight. So I thought you were right behind me. Because I was even tracking and be like, there's Lara. I was watching.
I'm not telling you. Yeah. I didn't tell Tyler. But I had to tell someone. So I texted Mo.
Because of Jacqueline.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that very first flight out of San Francisco, mm-hmm. 5:50 in the morning, I'm sitting, with all the non-revs. We're sitting there and they're calling. And I'm sitting next to one of the D1. And they go, Jack Quinn. And we're all sitting there. And there's just like us, this little group. And we're all looking at each other. And the girl looks up. She goes, Jacqueline? we're in that...
The babalake or whatever they are.
I was laughing.
Aaron.
Yeah. I started laughing so hard. And she goes running up. She's all excited. So it was two of them. It was Jack Quinn and there was two of them.
Malake.
I would love
to. Babalake. Yeah.
Oh, that was one of the jokes that one of my cousins that read the life sketch with me. He goes, we should pronounce all of the 12's names wrong. As we're up there, like
reading it's kind of hard to say JR wrong though.
Well, my mom pronounces it Jar. His name's Jar. That's funny.
So did someone spill some coffee on the model too?
Oh, yeah. And then when I was standing in line to board, I'm holding it by the handle so it's lengthwise. And some lady was like rearranging her luggage because, she had too many pieces. So she was trying to put her purse in her anyway. And she tips over her coffee and it goes on the model. And I go, And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm trying to, I have some napkins and I'm wiping it up and I'm like all frustrated with her.
it's okay.
Because I did know it was nestled in the box with lots of foam.
Then I had to tell Tyler, I go, just, you know, some lady spilled coffee all over the box.
Emotionally good for all of us.
Yeah. So my flight home made up for that experience at the gate leaving, though. So I was upgraded on the way home as well.
Good.
I was upgraded both ways, but didn't get first on either of them, just so you know.
Yeah, Katie was able to go in first instead.
Yeah, she was like, why don't you take a Sam on the way back? And I said, no, you take it. So
did Katie get it going up?
Yeah, she took my seat.
Because she took your seat. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So the flight attendant that we had, he was SkyWest, and he was phenomenal. Like, I even told Katie, because we were seated next to each other, I said, he is like the male Lara.
Oh,
he was incredible. He checked in with us multiple times. Like, he was so attentive that before your drink was even like halfway gone, he was already refilling it for people. He like joked with us and
made
you feel like you were old friends.
Katie offended the other one, didn't she? My wife.
Oh, she did? I didn't hear about that.
Well, then you got some flowers you brought home for the funeral. Yeah,
towards the end, the other one was kind of like helping do cleanup service.
Uh huh.
Anyway, and so one of my, I started with my grandpa, but a thing that we do is all the grandkids get to take a flower from the casket.
Oh, that's
so they
sweet.
Have like, yeah, something, because they're not going to want it. They're in the ground. So I had a bunch for my family and they were kind of seated between the two of us. So the woman goes, oh, you're going to have to bring me flowers. Those are so pretty.
Oh,
and I go, Katie awkward. Goes, Katie goes, those are from her grandma's casket. And I was like, thank you, though. But that's how our guy knew that. Because as we stepped off, we hadn't told him anything about traveling. Like,
he was just good to be good.
He was just, yeah, he was good to the whole cabin, but I felt like he was awesome with us.
He was good to us in the back, too. Like, he brought all the kids, not enough kids, my kids, and I think another family, a bunch of like extra snacks that you guys didn't use.
Oh, I love that.
So I'd got a coffee with Bailey's before we took off as pre-departure.
Because you actually had a pre-departure.
Yeah, because he was so good. And when we got in the air, he goes, kind of came over and he's like, do you want another coffee and Bailey's? And I was like, no, I think I'm going to do like a cran vodka, a little bit of orange juice. And he goes, well, he's like, I'm more than happy to make that for you. But I've heard that, he goes, have you tried Bailey's with vodka? And then he winks at me, he goes, I've heard it's pretty good. And I was like, oh, is it? And he goes, I've heard. And I go, well, let's try that then. And so he brings it back and it was delicious.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I told him, I just need a little bit of chocolate syrup on it. And he goes, yeah, it's called a milkshake.
Wow.
But I was like, I told Katie, I said, this is a sipper.
Oh, good.
But yeah, he was phenomenal. So that's what I asked him. I was like, do you get, like, what's your recognition program? Because I didn't know if we could send him A and B's or what that was. And he goes, oh, here's a card. Like, it goes to, I think they're VP. Anyway, so before we landed, I heard him send an email out because deserves to be recognized. He was phenomenal. Yeah.
Did you give him our business card so he could listen to the Non-Rev Lounge podcast?
I did not. I know I should have.
Who made those business cards and gave you some?
Laura did.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
You should have them in your pocket.
If you would have came with us.
I know.
We didn't hand out very many during the Cranky Awards like we did last year.
Yeah. He did give us a good shout out, though, a couple times.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, nice.
Well, I'm glad that it coming back made up for the...
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Well, that's what I was like, what is it, like an hour and a half flight from Idaho Falls?
Yeah, 2 hours.
Maybe 2 hours. Like, but he didn't sit probably more than 30, 40 minutes, I think, of the whole thing. You know what I mean? He was constantly up and checking on everyone.
All right, so this short show just went over an hour, so
chatterboxes.
We had a good time at Dorkfest or at with Cranky and
the Cranky Oakland. Flyer Network Awards.
We didn't get mugged.
We did not get mugged.
Put that in the wind column.
Uh-huh.
And it's good to see family up in Idaho.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We really appreciate it. It's means a lot to us, and we appreciate everyone reaching out to us and all the nice things that about our grandma passing, because we had put that up on, so you can see that story from about a week ago.
Yeah, the dates are a little off because I was still...
Yeah, I saw it. You had posted it and I saw it and I was like, I don't think you're...
19. Yeah, because I'd accidentally put that she was born in 1932 and then died in... 1924. Yeah.
Somehow she knocked out 12 kids.
All right, thanks everyone.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us at the Non-Rev Lounge Podcast at gmail.com. Everyone stay safe.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads.
It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over.
And built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
It was a good weekend, though. We got our funeral potatoes. I said, if we don't get funeral potatoes in Idaho, then we're never going to get them again.
Yeah, the potato state.
Yeah. You want to say any bad words?
No bad words.
You sound good. You don't sound sick anymore.
Oh, I did.
I don't sound sick. I can kind of hear it a little, maybe.
Okay, so here's a funny story. So I'm sitting next to, you know, Greg Fernandez.
Yeah.
You know, he is a purser.
Beer, beer, beer.
I'm sitting next to Greg on the jump seat. I'm trying to get my mic right. Okay, I'm sitting next to Greg on the jump seat and the pilot's call. And I'm just giving him so much grief. I'm just, and he's unflappable. You know, he's so professional.
Yeah.
And he's still in his suit, you know, with his tie and everything on. And he's talking, he goes, no, what do you need? And he's talking to the pilots. He goes, no, what do you need? What do you need? He goes, no, I don't do that. He goes, no, I can only play the harmonica. I only know how to play the harmonica. And I lean over and I go, I could play the skin flute. And he goes, Lark could play the skin flute. And then he looks at me and goes, oh my God. He repeated it. The pilots are like, oh my God. He just repeated. He wasn't even listening.
Because he was so like in the zone.
But then when I went in there to the pilots, I said to the captain, I go, I'm sorry. Greg told me that the captain said to him, I heard that. And so when I went in there, I go, I'm sorry, you heard that. He goes, I'm not allowed to talk about that.